Hello, welcome to Learning from Strangers, a show where we talk about things that might interest you, and we also happen to be strangers. My name is Ethan Moses. That's a really bad tagline, but again, we're going to experiment with these week to week. I'm Ethan Moses, and joining me as always is Holly Phillips. Holly, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Surviving the polar vortex.
I was going to say, yeah, what are you doing? I guess I don't even understand how people in the South even deal with such things.
I mean, it totally shuts down. Everything shuts down. Everything was closed for the past 2 days because they don't have like salt or salt trucks here. So if there's ice, it's kind of like, okay, no one drive.
Well, and I was on Facebook, as I usually am, and people were really giving people shit in the South, you know, about, their ability to deal with the weather. But you actually had pretty severe weather. It's not just like a sprinkling of snow, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like this stuff happens every winter and we still just don't get it. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, it just does not happen. So, and they really don't even have the resources for it, you know, because it doesn't happen enough for them to have those resources. So some stuff, like all the stuff that happened in Atlanta, obviously that is a little ridiculous. But, yeah, I mean, of course it's going to seem silly, but, you know, we can handle a hurricane, and if it happens somewhere else, people probably wouldn't know what to do, so.
Oh, yeah, if Berlin got hit by a hurricane, I have no idea. I don't know where it would come from, but actually, fun fact, I discovered that Berlin is actually underwater, and they pump all the water out, and so a hurricane would definitely be a bad thing. So yeah, there's all these pipes all around. I'm like, oh, that's weird. But yeah, they're preventing Berlin from sinking. So that's kind of interesting. But yeah, I saw the pictures of Atlanta. Holy shit, that looks really bad.
I think this morning they're like starting the blame game. And I'm like, I smell lawsuits.
Oh yeah, I was going to say, when you've got, 20-hour-long traffic jams and whatnot. I mean, that's awful.
Yeah.
That's awful. But
yeah.
Our topic today is not actually about the weather.
Nope.
It's actually about fashion. Holly and I have talked before, and Holly has had some opinions on men's fashion and what sort of fashion is appropriate in certain occasions. And I also have those same opinions, though they're not the same sorts of opinions. And so we thought we'd talk a little bit about, you know, the kind of stuff you should wear on a first date, the kind of stuff you should wear to meet parents. We won't talk about the kind of stuff you wear to weddings because it's you know, it's kind of a given. And just kind of a general feel of fashion in the context of a short-term or long-term relationship. But first, can I go ahead and trash some fashion that I've noticed?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Real quick. I think you will know what these pants are called. But basically, the imagery is... I see some very there's a lot of attractive girls here in Berlin. It's one of the three European fashion capitals. We just had Fashion Week like 2 weeks ago, and despite this, I see these girls that wear these gigantic baggy pants. They look not unlike MC Hammer pants from mm-hmm. the 1990s, for those of you that are old enough to remember those times. Except if MC Hammer had soiled himself and had a constant bulge of funk hanging down at his crotch. And I don't get it. I don't know where this fashion came from. I'm assuming it came from the same place as skinny jeans and the new resurgence of high waist mom jeans. But is this a real fashion? Is this something that real people wear? Or is it just something that the hipster wannabe homeless people in Berlin wear?
Yeah, I don't think real people wear that. Like, Justin Bieber wears that.
Okay. Okay.
You know, like, yeah.
Okay.
But, so I mean, yeah.
It's Bieber fever type stuff.
Right. Yeah. I think it's one of those things that I think of as, like, so high fashion that, like, our little minds just don't get it. I feel like that's just on another level.
Okay. So you're not offended by any stretch of imagination that I have taken to task these pants. I think my wife called them Jasmine pants.
Yeah, I think the correct I've heard them called drop crotch pants when like a guy wears them, but I think the proper name is a harem pant.
Harem. That's a really good defining characteristic of pants that a young lady in a professional world would want to wear. That's definitely good. What, you know, harem pants. That's wow. Why don't you just call them shitty slut pants? I don't. That sounds awful. But I guess I can't. But well then, gosh, I kind of hoped that I was gonna bring something up that was somewhat controversial to you. But apparently, we're on the same page with this.
No, but I think this is like a good point because I read this blog, this fashion blog called The Man Repeller. Mm-hmm. And when she started this blog, her whole thing was that she liked to wear stuff that was so high fashion that maybe guys wouldn't like it. And her point was that she's dressing for herself, maybe for other women, and not necessarily for guys. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something like a lot of women, you know, you kind of have that battle because you can always wear something that's flattering to your figure that a guy would think is sexy, but then there's stuff that's in fashion that guys might think is dumb.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know? Before we go into an aspect of male fashion that you don't enjoy, can we just really explore this whole concept of dressing in ways and not necessarily caring and how I still don't. I've been told this before. My wife has actually said this to me. My wife enjoys wearing dark lipstick. I don't like dark lipstick necessarily, but it's usually, you know, hey, this is for me, which is good and it is empowering. And I don't want to say that women should define their look by what gives guys, you know, boners, I guess, because that's definitely something that, you know, we're trying to avoid in the 21st century. But I don't always buy it. I kind of think that this whole, oh, we dress for ourselves or we dress for other women is kind of a defense mechanism to avoid explaining to guys why in the hell certain fashions are popular.
Yeah, that could be.
I mean, I don't want to be out of line with that. But again, for instance, let's go back to the high waist mom jeans, okay? Right. I have never in my time seen high waist mom jeans, and this has been a resurgence in the last, I'd say, year and a half to 2 years. I'm not a fashion expert, but it just seems like that. No woman, skinny, fat, big bootied, no woman looks good in those jeans. None of them do.
Right.
I mean, I don't get that. And I assume that, you know, maybe there's something I'm missing. Maybe that I have more of a primitive attraction to women, and thus I need, you know, booty shorts or low-rise jeans or something. I don't know what it is, but those jeans look awful, and I can't imagine other women like it unless they've tricked themselves into liking things they don't actually like, which I kind of feel that way about music sometimes as well, but I digress.
But what if, like, your wife put those on and she really liked them? Would you be like, take those off, they're disgusting?
I've been quite opinionated in the past when she has selected outfits. Again, this has nothing to do with control, and I know people are going to listen to this and be like, God, 1950s. But I have made comments, and I'm honest, and maybe this is a problem, but I am married, so obviously I'm doing something somewhat right. When I'm asked, how does this look, I'm usually somewhat honest about it, and not in a shitty way, but you know, mom jeans, I say, you're not a mom yet. And I'm anticipating that you're not a mom anytime soon. So, but I'm not going to throw a fit. I'm not going to, you know, emotionally, you know, break her down because of the, you know, the items that she wears. But again, there's certain things that I kind of look the other way, which for me, there's also things that I wear and she says, oh, I don't know about that. But I think it's not because she doesn't understand my fashion. It's just because I think she thinks what I'm wearing looks like shit. You know, like cargo pants and flip-flops. I used to wear a lot of t-shirts that had logos on them. I used to run a lot of distance races, and I had all the t-shirts that you get for running the race. Had like 20, that's all I ever wore. So, I mean, you know, in the defense of women here, guys also sometimes lack a certain self-awareness when it comes to fashion, too.
Right.
You know, so I mean a weigh in on it, what is the thing that if you see a guy wearing you're like, oh shit, this is
I mean, I feel like I don't consider myself to be like really high up on the fashion. I want to look nice, but I don't consider myself to be like up on latest trends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't expect to like be dating a guy that's like the best dressed in the room, but, you mentioned flip-flops. I don't mind flip-flops. I think I might actually have a little bit of a foot fetish.
Ooh.
which, yeah, is really weird now that I say it out loud. I've never admitted that.
We'll save that for a later episode. I think foot fetishes are very interesting because based upon my feet, I can't think of anyone fetishing any aspect of them at all.
but I would be pretty... I'm not gonna go for like the mandel. If the guy is wearing like strappy sandals, I'm not into that.
What, like the Velcro ones that you wear socks yeah. with?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I agree with that. I mean, I guess we're on the same page. So there's really this is not going to be a podcast full of contention, which is not a bad thing. But
obviously, it depends on the environment. If we're going someplace nice and the guy showed up in flip flops, yeah, I'm going to be offended. But mm-hmm. if we're, I'm not against like flip flops in general.
What if he just got done surfing?
Flip flops are cool.
Okay, even if it's a nice place.
Even if it's what?
Even if it's a nice place, even if you're going to a nice dinner, and the scenario is he just got done surfing, he rushed over, and he, you're at a, I don't know what a nice place in Louisiana is, nor do I know if you can surf in Louisiana, but he's arrived and he's got flip flops on. Is that a bad thing?
Yeah.
Really? Because I feel like surfers get a pass on basically everything. They don't have to wear shirts. They can kind of be, weathered, I guess, so to say, and they're just like, he's a surfer, that's fine. So yeah, so I feel like surfers can kind of get away with stuff, but I mean, you're gonna hold your ground and no flip flops and nice dinner.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a nice restaurant on the beach, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like a nice steakhouse that requires closed-toed shoes, that's gonna be embarrassing.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's definitely something worth noting to anybody out there that's planning on going and hanging out with a lady. Flip-flops maybe not the best option, which kind of takes us into our first kind of big subject is the first date. What kind of stuff is appropriate for the first date? I don't think we're gonna be able to generalize it, so we're gonna throw out a few scenarios and kind of dictate from that point on. So what would you expect a guy to be wearing, on a casual coffee date?
A casual coffee date. Obviously, I think jeans are perfectly acceptable.
Okay.
And maybe like a nice shirt, like a polo or, maybe like a button down. Okay. Not like with a tie, but, little Oxford shirt.
Okay. What kind of footwear is this guy wearing at this point?
Maybe he's wearing, I don't know, tennies, loafers.
You're okay with tennies?
If it's, casual tennis shoes, not like he's about to go run a marathon.
Okay. So, yeah, because that's not, you're actually really accepting and nice, because I'm not allowed to wear tennis shoes, but again.
Like, I'm thinking like a New Balance. Like a, not like a Nike, like air pump running shoe.
Well, are you dating someone from the 90s? I mean, yeah. I would expect, hello, Holly. I've traveled 10 years into the future to have a coffee date with you. Okay. So, and I think everyone knows what we're talking about when it comes to like a casual, decent looking tennis shoe.
Yeah.
Which, I totally understand that. For me, when I'm thinking back to my first dates, like I need some cleavage and I need it heavy and I need it in my face because that's just
for a casual coffee date.
Casual coffee date. Definitely need a lot of cleavage.
Good Lord.
I'm kidding. Realistically, based on my dating experience, like the girl showing up in, a parka is great for me. Like I was never too picky for it. because I didn't usually go on dates. I usually just that's a story for a different time, but let's just say that I did not date that often. I had a lot of special friends and that's about it, but in all honesty, special friends. We had a couple of special friends here and there, But none as special as my wife. Love you very much, Aubrey. Just please don't listen to this. To me, on the first date, as a guy, from my, you know, this is my perspective. Some guys will be different. The complete opposite of what I just said about the cleavage is I kind of feel like girls should and women should kind of be a little, people get really shitty with me about calling women girls. That's just, I'm going to note that. So I just, sorry, feminist with a capital F, like I, women. Gotcha. But no, you know, you don't have to just be casual too. I mean, I think that, you know, I think a lot of, the expectation for women is to make a, in terms of attractiveness, to make a really huge first impression. And I think that that's kind of unfair because I think it's just as important for the guy to make that kind of first impression. But that first impression does not require, like, you know, 2 days of preparation. I think that puts too much pressure on a first date. You know, from there on, you know, I obviously want to put a little bit more effort into it. But I definitely think that, and I know that, you know, every woman that's listening to this is like, yeah, right. You know, like, yeah, we're going to listen to you on that. But seriously, like, dudes don't really care that much. Like, look nice, you know, look presentable. Don't wear a Tweety Bird t-shirt. That's a big sign of you know, a first and last date. But again, like, you know, just be as comfortable. It's intimidating for guys when women, like, put a huge amount of effort into a date because it kind of puts their, it kind of makes, they're not really sure of the priority of it. They're not really sure of, you know, what, you know, she's trying to get across. And I think that there's definitely, you can definitely undersell yourself on a first date. You can also oversell yourself, and keeping up with those appearances may be kind of tough down the road. Again, take that as you will, everyone out there, but definitely, I mean, keep it casual. I think it's, again, same thing, you know, jeans and, you know, whatever, like, cardigans. I think cardigans are in, I think those are still popular, but again, yeah, be super duper casual. Cause that's going to make things a lot easier for both people.
What about, a cardigan with a Tweety Bird shirt?
Well, I don't know. You're mixing and matching now. I don't know if, I mean, is it a tasteful Tweety Bird shirt, or is it like really big and anticipating what? Pregnancy? You know what I mean? Like,
what do you have against Tweety Bird?
I don't have anything against Tweety Bird.
Is character. That like the symbol of like white trash for you?
Yes. I don't mean that in a mean way, but to me, like, and when I'm saying Tweety Bird, you know, like the nightgown length t-shirts that people wear, that kind of Tweety Bird. And this is coming from someone whose main wardrobe consisted of Tasmanian Devil t-shirts in elementary school. So I really don't have, you know, too much room.
Any ground to stand.
Yeah, definitely. But again, I'm talking first date. You know, Tweety Bird sends, at least to me, there may be some Tweety Bird, you know, fetish people out there, which still, I guess, even in that case, don't wear Tweety Bird. So Tweety Bird, leave any cartoon characters off, you know, the table. Even Disney characters. I'm sorry, but I've kind of gotten into this, like, anti-Disney mode because to me, I don't know.
I am total anti-Disney right now.
Okay, like, good.
So
I'm glad we both hate the happiest place on the earth.
Yep. I'm sorry, but, and it's weird because I never, not to go off on this tangent, but I never thought I would be that way. But when, you know, my aunts and uncles started having children and I was like buying books or gifts for them, I was like, oh no, I am not going to give a little girl a book about princesses and finding Prince Charming. I am just, no, I'm anti all of that.
And to me, when a girl has a Disney related item of clothing on, especially getting into that whole princess side of things, I envision her idea of relationships being somewhat fantastical.
Right.
And I'm definitely not a Prince Charming, and I'm definitely going to be disappointed in the future. So, I'd like to avoid that.
If a girl shows up to the casual coffee date wearing glass slippers, you're out of there.
Oh my God. Definitely. Definitely, because especially if she doesn't have good feet. I mean, trust me. You know, feet, bad feet are not just a man thing. Oh, glass slippers. and a ball gown. I'd be like, are you okay? She's like, I'm perfectly okay, Ethan. Let's commence our meal. Yeah, no.
There's like singing squirrels behind her.
Oh, now that would be cool. No, no, you didn't. Before I was like, I don't know about those slippers, but singing squirrels, I can get into that. I make friends with animals on a regular basis, and I would definitely love that. But no, Disney gives off the wrong impression. T-shirts and any sort of paraphernalia that relate to drugs or alcohol, that gives off a bad impression. What else? Political, slogans and that kind of stuff. Ugh.
Paraphernalia that relates to alcohol? You're offended by that?
Well, I mean, would you want to go on a date with someone that had, like, a t-shirt that said, like, fucked up all the time? You know?
No, but I'll say, for Christmas, someone got me a keychain that's a wine opener. What if I put my keys on the table? Is that offensive to you?
No, that to me is ingenuity. That to me makes sense. But if you walked in and you had, had something, if you were dressed head to toe and kind of, like pro... overconsumption of alcohol type material, I'd be like,
so if I was wearing like the beer helmet and Starbucks, you wouldn't be down with that.
I think I'd be taken back. I'd be like, oh, this girl can party, but I don't know if that would be someone that you bring home to mom and to dad, which is actually a very good segue, but it's not a good segue because I pointed out that it was a good segue. But let's say that first date turned into a second date, and we'll get to, the progression of dressing. But let's say that second date got to like a 15th date, and you decide, I'm going to bring this person home to meet my family. Assuming parents, but some people, such as my family, you basically meet my whole family immediately. So what do we wear in these situations?
I know for me, the last two serious boyfriends that I've had when I've met their family, it's been on a holiday, mm-hmm. which the last one we met on Easter, and we met them at church. And so it was like, okay, I have to dress for church and also dressing to meet the parents. So I was wearing like a Sunday dress, I guess.
Okay.
And he was wearing like a suit. So that obviously wouldn't be like typical, whereas I think a typical meeting would be like dinner or like maybe lunch. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like, so maybe we could group it into like a casual meeting and then a meeting in a more serious situation, a dressier, church. Something
right.
Like that. Casual situation. I feel like a lot of parents expect people to have turtlenecks on, and as a
what?
As I don't know why I get this impression. I see a lot of pictures of first meetings of parents, and the dude always has a turtleneck on. I don't know why this is. I think maybe this is just something that maybe I've noticed. But
do you wear turtlenecks?
No, I can't. I'm a a thicker man. Not quite as thick as I was, but my neck is I played football, I wrestled, I did that kind of stuff. My neck is not built for a turtleneck. Daniel Tosh talked about the turtleneck feeling like being strangled by a midget, and that is exactly how I feel.
I feel like the turtleneck is an awkward piece of clothing because for a guy, it looks a little bit nerdy to me. But for me, when I wear a turtleneck, I don't want to get off on this, but I have a large chest. Okay. Mm-hmm. So nothing really,
what does that mean? No, I'm just
nothing really hides that, but a turtleneck is like, hi, here's my boobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I gotta say, I think a turtleneck is good on girls. I like a turtleneck. Not to get back in the cleavage thing, but I'm sorry, but if I had a son and he brought a girl home and she was of a particular chest size and she had a turtleneck on, I'd be like, hey, good job, son. It'd be like a congratulatory thing. But that's a dude's perspective. But
oh my god!
But I think turtlenecks are okay with women. Guys, I don't think you should wear a turtleneck.
Is awkward.
Well, okay. I mean,
they're usually tight. That's the thing.
Yeah, I guess that
tight.
Is true. I guess
if you can see a guy's nipples and he's wearing a turtleneck, that's awkward.
The nipples, as the day progresses, they make their way through the fabric, and there's just nude nipple the whole time. And then how does one cover that up? With a blazer? You can't match a blazer with a turtleneck. That's awful. I would hate that.
Like what a pastor wears.
Yeah.
A turtleneck and a blazer.
He just hates himself the entire time. Like, God, why did I get into this business?
And he's sweating. He's literally sweating.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so then despite, you know, the potential for you know, kind of an exaggerated, you know, view on a woman's breast, we could probably say that a turtleneck is not the thing to wear when you first meet someone's parents.
I feel like the cardigan, like you said. I feel like you wear a cardigan.
Cardigan's good. Can guys wear cardigans?
You know, I kind of am like a fan of like the sophisticated nerd look.
Okay.
You know, like an Argyle sweater. I really like something like that.
Okay.
You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to imagine this. I think there's a certain, there's a certain build of guy that can get away with that.
Yeah, you're probably right.
A thinner man, because again, if it's a sophisticated nerd, they obviously, are nerds for a reason, because God did not bless them with physical attributes such as muscles, and so they have to. I'm just kidding. I'm a total nerd. but again, no. I think there's a certain build of guy. A thinner, leaner man can wear that kind of stuff. I think for a dude of bulk, for me, I have pretty wide shoulders, pretty wide chest. That isn't going to work for me. That's why I always think that, just like we talked about with a casual first date, a button down is never a bad thing. No one ever looks at a dude with a button down and is like, oh shit, that's inappropriate, unless it's at the beach,
right?
You know,
yeah,
or in a sauna.
Which honestly, if you're at the beach in the Hamptons, totally acceptable.
Yeah,
a button down.
Yeah, I will never be in that situation, but I that does make sense, because you've got the white button down and the boat shoes, which my wife keeps trying to get me to buy, even though I don't have a boat. I'd love to have a boat, but I don't really have the funds at this point to buy a boat. Not really a good investment this time of day, but, or this time of year, but again, the button down is definitely an okay thing to go with.
What about a button down with a V-neck sweater?
Oh, that's my nice. God. I know.
No?
Well, again, and I'm speaking on behalf of me and other, again, hey, you know, you want to talk about large chests. Yeah. As me and other large chested men, that is a lot of fabric and it's really restrictive. very, very restrictive.
What are you going to be doing when you meet the parents? Like jumping jacks?
Well, you never know. Maybe the dad will challenge you to some kind of physical, you know, like some physical combat or something, or I don't know. But to me, like, I have to, and I don't know. And I think a lot of dudes would agree with me on this, even though this sounds totally crazy, but at any given time, you should be able to dash away and somersault out of danger. Okay. Don't ask me where this came from. That's okay. Just the way I feel about things. And to put a V-neck and a button down is almost like you're locking in your potential. You know, I mean, our teachers always taught us to let go and really find out who we are. And I feel like for me, you put that much fabric on me, like you're not getting the real Ethan. You're going to get someone who, you know, has labored breathing, is quite sweaty. I don't know. But again, it goes back to, I think a thinner man, that works really well for him. Me, I got to keep the fabric to a minimum. Now, a blazer, though, I don't think is a bad thing, because you can take it off easily.
Right.
You don't want to be messing with a V-neck during dinner. You can't be, you know, like someone's like, oh, pass some mashed potatoes. And you're like, wait a second, let me get this V-neck off. And you're struggling. And then it pulls up your other shirt, your belly's hanging out. And if you've been sweat, it's a mess. To me, a blazer may not be a bad thing. If you're trying to make a better first impression and you want to avoid a V-neck sweater, even though a V-neck sweater looks nice on a thinner man, I think a blazer is not too bad to fall back on either. And just going with a button up. I don't know. That's not bad.
Yeah, you know? It is.
I don't know.
I like a button up works in, like you said, pretty much every situation.
Okay, so we can fall back on the button up, I think. Fall back on the button up, everybody.
For That'll sure.
be the theme of the show. That's what I'm going to call this show is
fall back on the
button up. Turtleneck boobs.
And there's different kinds of button ups. I mean, there's a casual versus like one that you would, you know, wear for a dressier situation.
Okay. And there is, and that is something that for people that are new to dressing like, you know, normal human beings, that is actually something that you wouldn't realize. So what is the difference between those two?
I mean, like when we're talking about like a coffee date or, you know, something like that, it's more like, I don't know, I'm not a guy, but the fabric is more like woven, and if it's not pressed, it still looks okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if you're wearing something that's more dressy, it's going to look more, I don't want to say like it has a sheen to it, but it's really crisp and it needs to be pressed.
Yeah, it absolutely needs
that's
to be pressed.
I try more to of a it. Dressy. That's more of a dressy. And maybe the collar has like the points on the end.
Mm-hmm. And dress shirts are sometimes a little bit longer too, since you're tucking them in, so they stay tucked in.
Yeah.
So those look awful if you leave them untucked. Now, a casual button up does not, I mean, you can tuck it in, you can leave it untucked, it works either way, but
yeah.
dress shirts look really, really bad if you leave them untucked.
Now, as somebody that, you know, I worked at Abercrombie like all through college,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of sold that like jeans, casual button up. Like, I think that look is totally hot.
It's a good look. I think it's a good
yeah.
look. Easy look. It's yep. a really easy look too, because a lot of dudes are like, oh, I don't want to dress. No, I don't want to wear t-shirts. And I felt the same way, but that is easy. You know, undershirt, yeah. button up, boom.
Yep.
You're going to have to learn to iron a little bit. Or hang up your clothes, you know, after you get them. I mean, immediately, like pull that out of the dryer, hang it up. It looks, and again, I'm speaking from experience because I used to have a bunch of button ups and I did not iron them. And once I discovered that taking 10 minutes to iron a shirt, maybe 5 minutes to iron a shirt makes a huge yeah. freaking difference. And do it, because especially on a first day or going to meet the parents, which would be even worse, if you've got wrinkles all over you, that tells a story that may not be true, but probably
yeah.
is.
I mean, essentially it looks like you don't give a shit.
Yeah. And you want to, in both those situations, you want to give a little bit of a shit. just a little tiny bit of a shit.
Just a little shit.
Just give a little shit. So, you know, we've gotten past the first date. We've met the parents. Things are going well. When is it okay to stop giving any shits about the way you look in terms of your dress?
Actually, I have like a pretty big opinion on this.
Okay.
I'm like clearing the throat because...
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Let me settle.
For yeah. this. Like I, and I'm single, so maybe I just have no fucking clue, but I don't like when you stop giving a shit. Like, mm-hmm. the longest relationship that I've had has been, like, 4 years, and I feel like that's a pretty long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I just always wanted to look my best. I never fell into the, like, oh, I'm going to show up at his house wearing yoga pants or sweat. I never did that because mm-hmm. I was like, that's totally – and I don't want to say – I don't want people to say, oh, you weren't comfortable with him. No, I just always wanted to look awesome. Mm-hmm.
Well, yoga pants would have been okay.
You know, and it's like, I'm not saying like, I don't think girls look cute in their yoga pants or pajamas or whatever, but I just have a lot of girlfriends that they're like, oh, you know, we just, I hang out in our sweats or whatever. And I see guys in sweats and I'm like, hey, he still looks really hot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not saying a guy can never like let loose with me, but I don't know. I just feel like when I date someone, I almost try more to look cute all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, I agree with you, because here's a perspective of someone who's been married for 4 years and someone who did as much as they possibly could to let themselves go during that time. And the sad truth of it is, and a lot of people will probably get after me, it's not about the way you look, it's not about what you weigh, it's about what's on the inside. That is somewhat true, but a lot of that's bullshit. Because the fact of the matter
right.
is once you stop dressing well,
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously I'm assuming everybody has jobs. You know, I had a job, you know, when we first got married, so obviously I was dressing up for that. But once you stop dressing well for your partner, that leads to you... taking liberties with other elements of your relationship, you will start gaining weight when you
mm-hmm.
think, oh, like, well, that's another thing that, and this is something I've just realized within the last few months. I mean, I'm not speaking from someone who's always been in fantastic shape, but it came to a point where I, you know, looking at myself, the way I dressed kind of loosened up. And so the way I took care of myself loosened up. And if you want to be the kind of couple that like validates an unhealthy lifestyle, then go ahead and don't care about it early on, you know, But if you want to be like happy the whole time, and let me tell you, a healthy couple, a good looking couple is a much happier couple.
Right.
I know people will argue with me on that, but that is 100% true. Since my wife and I have gotten back, and she's always dressed really well, but we both gained some weight. And so since we've been losing weight, things have been better, and I've been dressing better, and I feel a ton better. And it's a myth that most dudes don't care about the way they look. They just have been, not brainwashed, but they just kind of been convinced by their buddies that it doesn't matter that much. And if it doesn't matter to them, why should it matter to their wives or girlfriends? So no, I actually 100% agree with you. It's not easy. It's not easy keeping up appearances. And there comes a level where, you know, maybe keeping up appearances is too much of the focus, but I think it still has to be a focus because that equates to other aspects of relationship.
Yeah. And I mean, it reflects, not to be cheesy, but I mean, how you, you know, dress yourself, how you look does kind of reflect like how you're feeling on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, so if you're always hanging out in your sweats, always like, you know, looking like shit, I mean, maybe you're feeling like shit.
And again, coming from, I mean, just a month and a half ago, my wardrobe was a pair of pants that were way too big, but they were comfortable because I was 240 pounds. And you don't ever get out of that rut. And when you are in a personal rut, you are in a relationship rut. Your partner... or potential dates. I mean, you know, for people that are single, like for people that have given up on themselves physically when they're single, I'm kind of like, you know, good luck. Like, I hope that Disney fantasy of someone only seeing what's on the inside works out for you. Because frankly speaking, I see a lot of guys that, I'm going to speak, you know, from the perspective of men, but I think this goes for women too. I see a lot of them that complain about, you know, like, oh, not being able to find people, and looking at them, it's not about being unattractive. It's more about how they carry themselves. And again, if you look like shit, who's going to want to be around you? Like, I'm sorry, we're a superficial world. That's not because, you know, Hollywood told us to, but that comes from, you know, our, you know, caveman days when, you know, people that looked unhealthy weren't people we wanted to try because they were going to kind of weigh us down. That sounds awful, but that's still true to this day in one way or another. So we probably lost just a ton of listeners after that. They're just like, oh, what assholes. But it's freaking true though. I'm sorry. It's true. And I'm, you know, I'm not sitting up on this pedestal of, you know, uber attractiveness or anything like that. But the fact of the matter is, don't give up on the way you look. Don't. You'll hate yourself. You will.
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny because my, the last boyfriend that I had, you know, we nearly lived together, and sometimes I would be like, look, I need you to kind of go away so that I can, like, put on a face, like a clay mask, I need to paint my nails, I need to go to the gym, like, it was like, you know, I need to, like, do the stuff that I do for myself and, quote-unquote, for you, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, complaining to my mom about it, and she was saying that she went through that when her and my now stepdad were first dating because they spent so much time together, and she's like, I need to shave my legs, I need to do this, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe my mom, like, subconsciously raised me that way, but I just have always, even if I am in a relationship where I'm, like, staying with that person a lot or whatever, I'm always, like, wearing cute pajamas or, you know, making sure, like, I have, like, some makeup on or just, I don't know, never looking like that, my absolute worst, you know?
that's pride. I mean, it pains me to see people use that as, you know, a way to, you know, attack someone for being superficial or whatnot, because that's not it. Like, that is an excuse that people have been able to utilize as of late because they themselves don't want to put the effort into it. And now, on the other hand, if that was your only motivating drive in the relationship, that's one thing. But taking care of yourself is dressing well should not be as tough as we've made it to be. Again, coming from someone who's makes a lot of excuses, I just talked about how, you know, a V-neck sweater the worst thing possible. But there's options for me as well, you know? I mean, there's options out there. And I think that, if anything, for people that are newly dating or have been married for a long, long time, you know, putting that extra effort into it is definitely going to benefit you. I mean, it's not going to take anything away. Your spouse isn't going to be like, oh, God, you look really good. That's really offensive to me visually. Like, they're going to be okay with it. So I guess maybe we've come to the consensus that it is not okay to stop putting effort into the way you look.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, like you said, you know, I don't want that to be the sole part of the relationship, but I never want my partner to feel like, wow, Holly just let herself go. You know?
Downward spiral. I mean, again, once you get into marriage and you've already like began the process of not, you know, again, the not giving a shit, you know, it gets worse. I mean, it's, you know, the motivation to stay because you got someone that you're going to be with forever and you're like, it doesn't matter. They love me for who I am, which they do, but they probably will love you a little bit better if you look nice. I think that's, you know,
I think a lot of people think that though. They're like, oh, well, like as far as from a woman's perspective, they're like, oh, well, I already got him, you know, we're getting married, so whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like the wedding is like the last, like, you know, hurrah, because, and I feel like that is even sometimes just for the pictures, you know? And then after that, it's like, okay, well, it's us now, so I'm going to eat a big bag of Oreos.
I mean, and this is all like a multi-step process that all leads to bad things down the road. And at the end of the day, the way you feel directly affects your health. And if you don't look good, you don't feel good. And that is going to cause a lot of issues for people in the long run. And not to get to the, you know, like the more, you know, aspect of this podcast, but I think there's a focus on, I think the focus has gone away from just being attractive, because, you know, not everybody is born, you know, attractive, but the focus has gone away from that to a more like a full approach to, you know, the way you convey yourself to people, you know, in terms of attitude, in terms of confidence, in terms of the way you dress. So if you can kind of focus on all that kind of stuff, it's going to work. And again, even if you're in a relationship, you don't want to lose that. You never want to, because that's going to affect things from, you know, your job to your relationship with your family. I mean, it's all interconnected. I know people like to think it's not. It really, really is. I mean, read a fucking book. That's what we can say. You know, I mean, it's absolutely, absolutely true. I had, you know, I worked with clientele that were developmentally disabled, one of the most marginalized groups of people on the planet. And many of them never learned how to feel good about the way they looked. Many of them were just kind of, you know, given the option of, oh, you're going to wear sweatpants and you're going to wear t-shirts because, you know, you're not important to society, is what it came down to. And I tell you what, you get someone who has been marginalized their whole life, you put them in some nice clothes, some nice jeans, some new shoes, things change big time. And I had clients that went from being miserable to being super happy, to having jobs, doing all kinds of the things that people didn't think they could do, based entirely on this misconception that, you know, oh, like looking good and dressing good is not should not be your focus, and that can be attributed to everybody. And so you know, just this big, maybe a big internet hug to you all is to say, hey, make yourself look good. Make yourself look good.
Read a fucking book.
You read a fucking book. I'll end it with that. I don't ever want it to be too serious, because you know, that's not what we're about. But yeah. Seriously, take care of yourself. Smell good too. Put on cologne, dudes. Put on cologne. It works.
I do like, though, earlier you mentioned, like, for women, you know, not to overdo it, because, and I know I'm not the only girl out there that feels this way, but I will so many times leave my house feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling confident, I like this outfit, whatever, my hair looks good, and then you get to the bar or whatever, and you see a group of girls that I don't even know how to describe the way they look. It's really fake. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they have the extensions, maybe they have fake nails, but they're really skinny, whatever. And they're pretty, but it's like a different kind of, and even though, like, my friend, she knows how I feel about it. So when we run into, like, girls like that or whatever, she's like, don't even look at them. Cause I feel insecure the second I see girls like that. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, well, they get the attention of all the guys. And my friend is always like, yeah, but they're all single. It's not like the good attention, you know. But it's still really tough because, you know, they are really pretty. It's just, it's on a level that, like, I cannot compete with that.
I think and again, I won't speak for all guys, but for the guys that I know, the kind of guys that most people would actually want to date, I think looking like the best version of you possible is the best way to do it. You know, like that's what I've always enjoyed about, like, I've never been really attracted to what I'll call the Hollywood, you know, archetype of beauty. I guess I would say cute and pretty. Hot to me is okay, but it doesn't, I don't know. Hot to me isn't going to ever do it. To me, I like to see, you know, a girl that has put effort in the way she looks, but, you know, it's not a night and day, you know, transformation. I've dated girls that looked unbelievable, but they were putting too much time and effort into an illusion, you know? And to me, that is the opposite of what I was talking about in terms of looking good. That is putting, okay, or what we were talking about is putting too much effort into it and kind of losing sight of the really important aspects of it. So to me, like if a girl walked in and was all made up and fake tan to the brim, I mean, you can fake tan and look good, but I'm talking orange fake tan, huge nails, a bunch of makeup, her hair has taken 2.5 hours. I'm either going to be unattracted to that or I'm going to be intimidated by that. And those are two things you don't want on a first date. Or, you know, dates after that. It's just, it normal dudes don't like that. They don't like that look. It's intimidating or it's unattractive. And I think that a lot of girls have an issue with competing with that, those tribes of women, because they're like, oh, that's what guys want. I'm not some abnormal dude. I understand what dudes want. And if you look at dudes that get married, very few of them are married to, you know, these unbelievably stick thinned, you know, emaciated, super, super tan girls. That's not, because those girls, they have a different priority. Same with the dudes with the spiked hair, the Jersey Shore guys, I guess is the best way to do it. Those dudes don't seem to get married that often either, you know?
So,
So again, look, I think that most guys are pleased to have your company. They're pleased for you to look good, but they're pleased if you're comfortable, you know? And dudes can tell. They can smell it out. We're primal beings. We're very primal. We can tell when a girl's just not comfortable at all.
Right.
So don't, never worry about that. But don't, I never look at, you know, I look at tall guys in the same way as maybe you look at those groups of girls. Like, I walk in to a, I was in the elevator with a dude. He had to have been like 6'5", just huge, big muscle guy, you know, model looking type dude. And I'm just like, ah, man, I look like shit by comparison. But I looked as well as I possibly could have. And that was a good step. I'll never be a tall person unless I get that surgery, but I heard it's excruciating, so I won't. we're only as attractive as we can be, and there's a lot of people that are more attractive than me, and I'm okay with that, because I have a good personality. I don't know, I feel pretty good about what we've talked about this evening. I think we've given a very kind of all over the place, you know, approach to how to dress and the appropriate ways to dress. If anything, just, you know, take care.
Fall back on a button up,
or so. How would you? I mean, maybe fall back on a turtleneck too. I don't know, ladies. If you feel like your back is against the wall and you really have to, like, you know, I don't know. I don't want to sound, you know, like a perv or anything, but hey, that's you know, it's definitely something to keep in mind. But thank you all for listening. We are going to be chipping away at these episodes. We'll have a new one every week, we're hoping, and we'll be talking about a bunch of stuff. And so, I don't know. I'm excited. I think Holly's excited. My mom's excited, I think. Everyone's a little bit excited. So, this has been Learning from Strangers. I'm Ethan Moses and this is Holly Phillips, and we'll see you all, you know, at some point in the future.
See ya.